thank the Lord for the testimonies of the righteous, for we simply believe that they availeth much. We thank God for the songs of Zion. Amen, somebody. Family, you know that as praises go up, God's blessings do indeed come down. And we thank the Lord for the presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. How many of you know about the Holy Ghost? How many of you know the Holy Ghost? Amen. You can't know Jesus and not know the Holy Ghost. And if you say you know the Holy Ghost, then you already have gotten Jesus. Amen. So we thank the Lord today for all that has transpired in worship today. And may God continue to glorify and magnify Himself in this place. God is good, isn't He? All the time and all the time, God is indeed good. It's good to be here on a first Sunday, to have communion and to break bread on the first day of the week. Anybody thankful for Communion Sunday? As often as you do it in remembrance of me, Jesus said. And so first Sundays in our worship tradition is special because it allows for the reminder of the fact that we are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus who died to bring us into unity of the body of Christ. God bless you. Won't you stand to your feet? Get your Bibles out. Let's pray. Let's read God's scripture and see what the Lord has for us on this day. 1 Corinthians, I would invite you to turn with me and share in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. I believe that there is something from the Lord to the people of God today. I want to thank, as you're turning, I want to thank God for all the saints at Shiloh who thought it not robbery to come out last Friday night. We had a great turnout on last Friday for our worship experience at the Tabernacle Baptist Church for their 17th annual International Missions Conference. It was a blessing, and I praise God for all the leaders and all the members who made their presence known. Shiloh was well represented in the house on that day. We're going to start reading at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 26. And I want you to say amen when you've located that text. The Bible reads, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, that all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order." Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and sanctify the people of God. You don't have to put this title screen up. I want you to pray with me on this sermon title today, Setting the House in Order. Setting the House in Order. Let's pray together. Father, I ask that your word not be returned void. I pray that your word will have its way, that the word that you gave us thousands of years ago will indeed accomplish that which you intended. I pray, Lord, that your anointing, O God, would fall fresh in this place. I thank you for every man, every boy, every woman, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, everyone under the sound of my voice. Let the anointing touch and pierce their heart in the name of Jesus. Encourage hearts. Help somebody to know trouble doesn't last always. Illuminate somebody's mind. Help someone to learn something they did not know before they walked in here today. And ultimately, God, I pray that you would convict someone's soul. Charge them, convict them, move them, draw them from where they are into where you want them to be. This is our prayer, O God. I ask it in the name of Jesus, our Christ and our Redeemer. Let all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Ushers, you may take your seat as well. Now, beloved, this is one of those passages of scripture that can get a 21st century man hurt. Yeah. And get a 21st century man hurt. If they don't know what they're talking about. Now, brothers, don't go around quoting verse number 34 if you ain't read 26 to 33. That might get you hurt. Amen, somebody. I'm just being real with you now. But in all seriousness, this is a controversial piece of scripture. But after I hopefully elucidate and exegete, I hope it will become a little clearer to someone here today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you missed that whole introduction, just wait till you get home. Ask your wife. Say, what was the preacher talking about, honeys? Say, you don't need to know. The honey will say, you don't need to know. But in all seriousness, this is a Pauline instruction that has been grossly misinterpreted, grossly misexegeted, grossly isogeted, which is to take the text out of context and to not give full revelation as to what the text is actually talking about. And so let me say at the outset that I want to consider this a second part in a what will be an ongoing series about the Holy Spirit, about Pentecost. So this is my second sermon on Pentecost. The first I preached last Sunday. The second I'm going to share today. Next week is Mother's Day. We're going to have a Mother's Day reflection. And on the week after that is the 19th. And that is actually the day that we celebrate the birth of the Christian church, the 19th of May. It moves every year based upon the fluctuation of Easter, as some call it, or what we say is Resurrection Sunday. So depending on Resurrection Sunday, I taught last week that Resurrection Sunday, if you count 50 days later, Pentecost, meaning 50, is then where you would find this outpouring, this downpouring, this indwelling of the Holy Spirit that is spoken about in Acts chapter 2. And so I need you to always link, right, three very special days in the life of the Christian church: Christmas, the birth of Christ. I need you to link the Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday, which is the resurrection of Christ. And I need you to link Pentecost Sunday, which often doesn't get spoken about in many Christian churches. It is a feast that our Jewish brothers and sisters, as I talked about last week, they reflect upon and they think about because of their experiences coming out of Egypt, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Booths, and the Feast of Passover. Those three feasts are opportunities to think about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. And every now and again, we ought to just stop and think about the goodness of the Lord in our lives. And for our Jewish brothers and sisters, it was those three national feasts. This doesn't often get practiced in some Jewish circles as it does in other Jewish circles. Ultra-Orthodox Jewish men will gather their families together, and if they don't go to Egypt, go to Jerusalem to remember these feasts, they certainly pause upon them. But every Jewish brother and sister will remember the Feast of Passover. have a Seder, a Passover Seder. And so what it says to me is that they are charged never to forget. Right? Never to forget. The song that we just rendered, I won't go back to the way things used to be. But in order to understand what you don't want to go back to, don't forget what God brought you out of. Amen. Don't ever forget Egypt. Don't ever forget where you were, because just like Reverend Burrell talked about and shared a few moments ago, don't ever forget that I was once an addict. I was once dealing with illegal substances, but that's who I was. And I don't want to go back to where I was. I don't want to go back to where I come from, because God has been too good to us to take us backward. God has great things in front of us. In order to get them, you got to keep marching onward to Zion. Keep climbing up the hill. Keep climbing Jacob's ladder. Every rung goes higher and higher and higher. So don't ever forget, thanks be to God, God charged not only our Jewish brothers and sisters, but I believe God charges us to never forget what God has done in our lives. And yet, as I think about these feasts, the Jewish feasts and the Christian celebrations, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is God the Holy Spirit who is often not discussed and preached about. I heard an old preacher say, don't ever leave a sermon, young man, without taking the folk to the cross. And I believe that there is relevance to what that means. Remind them that you are covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. That they are who they are and where they are because of the blood that reaches to the highest mountain and the blood that flows to the lowest valley. It is the blood that gives us strength from day to day. It is why we pause every first Sunday and say, God, thank you for the body, but thank you for the blood. Without blood, there is no redemption. Without blood, there is no salvation. Without blood, there is no deliverance. Without blood, there is no sanctification. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But after we take them to the cross, remind them what Jesus did and what God did in lifting up his son Jesus, what the Father did in lifting his son Jesus up. Let us not ever forget that when Jesus rose, the Holy Spirit descended. And the Holy Spirit is here to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And so as much as I preach about Jesus, I want to also impose upon those of you in the Christian church to understand the power and the magnanimity and the influence of God, the Holy Spirit, that we cannot do what God has purposed us to do if we don't have the Holy Ghost in our lives. Amen, somebody. And so therefore, today I want to talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Holy Church and what it means to set God's house in order. Amen. Amen. Setting God's house in order. There are three passages of Scripture, or the three texts, I mean verses in this passage of Scripture I want to highlight for you today. The first one is found in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 26, which I've already said. It says at the end of verse 26, it says, let all things be done for edification. One of our three theme words this year for our visitors who are with us today, one of the three theme words that we as a church are focusing on is edification, equipping, and elevation. What it means to edify the body of Christ, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, and to elevate the body of Christ, lift us up a little bit higher. We all ought to want to go higher in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I looked at this text, I believe it was confirmation from the Holy Spirit about to preach. And I said, and sometimes I say, Lord, you sure you want me to preach this text today? You sure you want me to talk about women being silent in the church today? And he said, young man, get up and preach the gospel like I told you to preach it. I didn't tell you to preach what you want to preach. I told you to preach what I told you to preach. Amen, somebody. So I'm being obedient to the Holy Ghost today, as I always try to be.
And so there is a verse in verse 26 that all things be done for edification. That word edification, as I've mentioned before, means to teach. It means to give it by way of instruction. And so what Paul is talking about in the book of 1 Corinthians is about setting the house in order. He found in Corinth that there was a lot of confusion going on in the body of Christ. There were things happening in the church in Corinth that not necessarily were happening in the church in Ephesus or the church in Thessalonica or the church in Rome. That there were some particular things happening in Corinth because of Corinth's historical position among the Greek islands as being a crossroads for international commerce at that particular day. And so what Paul was discovering is that as the teachings of Jesus were being manifested all over the Mediterranean region, that there was a particular kind of spirit going on in Corinth that was causing chaos and confusion among the body of Christ. And how many of you know, the one thing that you cannot have in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is chaos and confusion. My God is not the author of chaos and confusion. There ought to be things that are understandable and intelligible and recognizable that happens in the body of Christ, but at the same time, allowing for the movement of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. I need you to work with me today, because what I'm talking about is God setting his house in order. And so when the teachings of Jesus are given and the body of believers are gathered together as they interpret God's word, it always ought to be strained with the Holy Spirit covering everybody from the pulpit to the pew, from the top to the bottom, from the back to the front, that we all need to be covered by the Holy Ghost. And I don't know if you pray this prayer. I think you ought to pray it when you get up. You ought to thank God for waking you up. You ought to thank God for seeing you through another night's journey. You ought to thank God for keeping a roof over your head. You ought to thank God for putting some food on your table. You ought to thank God that you had a little bit of something to put on your back. But before you step one foot out of your house, you ought to ask for the protection and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because you don't know what demon and what demonic force is coming at you on this particular day. You don't know what demon or demonic force you're going to encounter on your job. You don't know what demon or demonic force you're going to encounter on your way into your school place. You don't know what demon or demonic force you're going to encounter on your daily journey. And in order to fight the demons, you need the Holy Spirit. And so you ought to ask, Holy Ghost, lead me and guide me today in the name of Jesus. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't have to be Pentecostal to do that. I don't have to be holiness to do that. I don't have to be Church of God in Christ. But if you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, you better call on the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that can set the house in order. If your own house is out of order, you better ask the Holy Spirit to come into that place, get a little oil, start anointing things around your house, start asking for the Holy Spirit to come into that place. If your marriage is out of order, you want to get a little bit of oil and start anointing the places around your house. Start anointing your husband. Start anointing your wife. Start anointing your children. And ask the Holy Spirit to come into that place and set your house in order. Set it in order. God is not a God of confusion. God is not a God of disorderliness. God wants edification, wants to learn and to understand what the Word of God has to say for the people of God. And we cannot do that if God the Holy Spirit isn't guiding us into all truth. And so the first statement of importance to me in the text is, let all things be done for edification, learning, understanding, not just knowledge, but wisdom. Because there's a lot of folk who have a lot of knowledge, and just as silly as the day is long. But what good is knowledge, the accumulation of facts, figures, and numbers, if you don't have the wisdom to know how to apply it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Wisdom comes from God. And if any man lacks wisdom, any woman lacks wisdom, the Bible says, let them ask, and God who has it shall give it liberally. But you've got to ask for it, and you've got to know where it comes from. The Holy Ghost has come to guide us into truth, wisdom, and understanding. So let all things be done for edification. There's another second text that says in verse 33, this is a similar verse in the passage of scripture, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And so again, the word peace gives me a statement, a clue, a link to the Holy Spirit. Because how many of you know what Paul goes on to say in the book of Galatians to the church in Galatia, chapter 5? He begins to speak about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And he says the fruit of the Spirit are love and joy and peace. Come on, someone. If you want peace in your house, then you've got to invoke the presence of the Holy Ghost into your place. Come on, someone. I said it earlier, I talked about anointing, but you can also ask God, who is the God of peace, to come into your place. The scripture says, Paul says in Philippians to the church in Philippi, verses 4, 6, and 7, verses 6 and 7, he says, be anxious for nothing, but by all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You got to sprinkle some thanksgiving in there. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding shall guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. Anybody need some peace in their lives today? Anybody need some peace in their marriage? Anybody need some peace on their job? Here's what I want to tell you. All chaos and confusion can be breaking out around you. But if you know the Holy Spirit, you can have peace in the midst of your storm. You can have peace in the midst of your chaos. You can have peace in the midst of your confusion. Your boss can be the author of confusion. Your situation can confuse you. But if God is in it, God says, I'll give you a spirit of peace that surpasses all understanding. You just got to hold on to me, because I love what he says, because I don't always know what the end is going to be. But because I know him, I know how the end is going to work out, that everything is going to work out for my good. I may not be able to see it. I may not be able to understand it. I don't know when it's going to happen. But sooner rather than later, my breakthrough is going to come. My deliverance is going to come. My rescue is going to come. My salvation is going to come. And so until I get there, I'm just going to have a peaceful spirit. I'm going to go around with a smile on my face. You may not understand while I'm smiling and I'm going through all hell and chaos and confusion, but I need you to know I know somebody. I know someone who is not the author of confusion. I've got peace in the midst of my situation. Some of y'all look at me sometimes and say, you got a stone face. I don't have a stone face. I got a spirit face. I'm just waiting for the Lord to work this thing out. It's me and the Lord. Why am I going to get all upset behind some stuff I can't change? Only God can change some people. I can't change them. I can't change situations. All I got to do is wait. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Give God some praise. Give God some glory. While I'm waiting on my breakthrough, while I'm waiting for him to change my situation, all I'm going to do is lift up my God and say, Lord, have your way. It's not a stone face, it's a spirit face. Because I've just seen him do it too many times to get all beside myself, discombobulated, letting all my marbles hang out. No, keep yourself together. Get yourself together. Cry your weeping tears, but let God wipe the tears from your eyes, because it's going to be okay sooner rather than later. I know what I'm talking about. And if you're here today, I pray you know what I'm talking about too. Has God ever just given you a divine peace in the midst of something you were going through? Thanks be to God. So the Spirit of God, the text says, Paul says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And then the last verse in this series of verses is verse number 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. And so here is really where the Lord is leading me to dwell a little longer. Let all things be done decently and in order. I said earlier, as I sent messages out to my leadership, deacons, deaconesses, trustees, trusteeaes, members of the church, I said we're going to do things a little differently today in the next several weeks. We're going to experiment with time. So today I'm sure all of you say, well, what about the notices? Pastor, you forgot the notices. Did you hear the notice? No, there were no notices. I expected there to be a Women's Day notice, but maybe the women didn't have anything to announce today because it is women's season. Did we miss the women make an announcement? All right, then there was no notices. Said to Brother Wayne, we're not going to put anything on recorded screen. Direct folk to read the bulletin. Try to get the word out about things coming up this week. Because we are in a dire situation. We're in a dire situation because our Sunday school needs to be strengthened. And we need to make some time to figure out how we're going to do that. Which then I've said we're going to try to be out by 9:30 and try to get us into Sunday school so we can have a solid hour of instruction and engagement for the people of God. Amen, somebody. But to do that, we got to make some changes and we got to do some things a little bit differently. And so this scripture about let all things be done decently and in order is about how do you make change in the presence of God's church without inhibiting and limiting the movement of the Holy Spirit. Listen, on one hand, you want the Holy Spirit to have his way. But as folk often tell me, Pastor, you don't have to be eternal to be effective. Figure out how to shorten this and shorten that and do this and do that. And so the question for us today is, how do we do what God has called us to do in God's house and do it decently and in order? And so this Sunday is the notices. We may put some of them back. We may do this. Next week it's going to be a little bit of something. The deacons are going to change some things up as we go forward and so forth and so on. We're going to do this, a little less of this, particularly at 8 o'clock, because decency and in order also implies the edification. And I can't have a solid 8 o'clock service but not have nobody going to Sunday school and thirsting after the Word of God. Because if the Word is God in, is good in worship, then ought to be good in Sunday school also. If you're thirsty, the Bible says, blessed is he who thirsts after righteousness and hungers after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you want more of the word, then you ought to have a thirst for the word and a hunger for the word. And I hope that one day we will have Sunday school running over. Folk are running to get their seat in Sunday school, just like they're running to get their seat in church. Because the word is what we all desire. And so part of today is to usher in this conversation about things being done a little differently. But now let me get to a moment in the text where there's some confusion. Paul says in this edict about nothing being done out of confusion. For God is a God of peace. Nothing being done out of chaos. For God is a God of peace. He says, let things be done decently and in order. And then he says in verse number 34, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. Now, again, don't get hurt, brothers. Let me help you on this one. Paul is speaking about a particular context in the Corinthian church. I said earlier that Paul is dealing with a particular spirit in Corinth. Why? Because if you Google something called the Oracles of Delphi, the Oracles of Delphi are places that were particular to Corinth where folk used to go to get their, let me put it in contemporary context, get their palms read and their fortunes told. oracles were future prophecies of where, what would happen to you. And don't you know that it is a sin before the Most High God to go to an oracle? Because why would you go to another man or woman to figure out what your future is going to be, when I just told you, you ought to go to God, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen now. And so there were people who were going to the oracles at Delphi. Delphi was just across the bay, just across the river from where the city of Corinth was. So it was not like Philippi or Ephesus or Thessalonica or Galatia. No, they had proximity and access to folk who told them their future. And how many of you know that the majority of those who did oracles were women? This is where I'm helping some folk today. The oracles were not often men. In point of fact, history, Greek history, Homer and the author of the Iliad and others have told us about the oracles of Delphi, that it was women who were often not the priest, but the priestesses. And so whether you were male or female, if you went to the oracles at Delphi, you were often going to go before a priestess who was a woman who was going to tell you your future. And so Paul understands that began to creep in the church. Let me help some of y'all. How many of you remember Miss Cleo? I thought that would help some of y'all. Yeah, Miss Cleo was a woman who used to get a lot of airtime as you just call Miss Cleo up and she can tell you what's going to happen in your future. Don't you know Miss Cleo was found out to be a fraud, and Miss Cleo was found out to be someone who was not telling the truth, and yet there was a lot of folk who put a lot of money in Miss Cleo's pocket. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care if it's male or female, don't you go before any man or any woman. When you walk in the boardwalk down there and you see that tarot card, you just keep walking by the boardwalk. Don't you go in that tent. Let me tell you your future. Let me read your fortune. Let me read your hand. You better keep your hands in your pocket. Messing with some spirits that you don't have any business messing with. And so Paul is now speaking to the oracles of Delphi. And so the women were beginning to prophesy like the women who were high priestesses in the oracles of Delphi. And so what Paul is really saying is, I need there not be confusion, because what's creeping in is the places and the practices of the world into the body of Christ. And I need you to understand there is a difference between what happens in the world and what happens in the body of Christ. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. You got to leave some of that stuff in the world, outside in the world, and you need to grab hold of what belongs to God. So Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, sisters, don't prophesy like those priestesses are doing in Delphi. In point of fact, I need right now, for this particular moment in this particular church, I need there to be an understanding of, let the sisters not prophesy. It really wasn't about speaking and having anything to say. It was about, don't let them rise up and be considered a high priestess and prophesy. This is about prophecy. This is about speaking in tongues. Right? Because speaking in tongues was about God using people, right? Not for going to them, but God using people in the midst of the assembly to be a blessing to those. And speaking in tongues were two types. One was speaking in a different language. Another was speaking in a heavenly utterance. And he was saying in this particular case, be mindful of not letting the sisters speak in oracles, because we don't want there to be confusion about what's going on in the world and that's creeping into the church of Jesus. But just so you know that Paul is an equal opportunity employer. Come on, somebody. My wife is the director of affirmative action and equal opportunity at DOT. So I got to be mindful of what's on the latest evolution of what's on the affirmative action rolls. Paul just doesn't tell the women to be quiet. He tells the brothers to be quiet too. Put the verse up there. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:28, but if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. He goes on to say in verse number 30, but if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first one, the brother, keep silent. So it's not just he's speaking to the women about keeping silent. He's saying to the brothers, if you cause a confusion too, if you're messing the people up also, because how can you stand up and give interpretation and another one stands up at the same time and give interpretation, and the folk are looking at who is God speaking to? God is saying to everybody, let all y'all keep silent and let the house be set in order. Amen, somebody. So don't look at this text as only Paul talking about the women. But let me tell you something about Paul. Paul is the same one who helped usher in Priscilla, a husband, and Priscilla, Aquila, the husband, and Priscilla, the wife, and set them in charge of the church in Ephesus. Read your Bible. Paul is the same one who helped Eunice and Lois take care of their grandson and their son Timothy. Paul is the same one that helped raise sisters up in the church. Maybe there were some brothers who could do it, maybe there were some brothers who couldn't do it. But Paul lifted up women and said, I want you to have charge over this work and let the Lord use you for the glory of God. Come on, somebody. Paul understood that God, the Holy Ghost, can use anybody he wants to use. Come on, someone. So I just stopped by to tell someone that at the end of the text, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 40, that all things be done decently and in order. Now let me help someone out from the Greek interpretation of this, then I'll go to my seat. The word decently means, in its Greek interpretation, it means also honestly. Listen now. And the next word, which is orderly, also means with dignity. So a lot of us read this and we think it is about timetables and keeping time and all of this other stuff. Let there be that. God wants things to be done in a fashion that runs smoothly. Don't get it wrong. We cannot have order of worship if there's no order. But understand that if the order of worship is so orderly that there is no honest and honesty in it, and there is no dignity in it, then you might as well not do it. And what I believe God is saying is, now that you've set your order, let me have the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit falls fresh in the place, then those who jump up and shout are jumping up and shouting with honesty. They're not doing a form of fashion. And when those who lift up God and worship him in whatever way you want to worship him, then let it be done honestly. Let it be done with a way that says, I know what the Lord has done for me. I know that he's brought me from a mighty long way. I know that he has moved mountains out of my way. I know that he has built bridges over troubled waters. I know that he has made a way out of no way. I know that he has put my enemies under my feet. So just let me lose a little bit. I gotta jump. I gotta shout. Because I know what God has done for me. I'm not putting on a show. I'm dancing out of honesty. I'm shouting out of honesty. Because God, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know like I know how he set me free. You don't know like I know how he brought me out. I'm shouting with honesty. I'm shouting with decently. I'm shouting with orderliness. And I love this word order, because dignity means that you are giving God the best you have to give. Dignity is about being stately without being pompous. Let me say that again. Dignity is about being respectful without putting on airs. Don't you know a lot of folk who like to walk in a certain way? Dignified, nose up in the air, like they've never made a mistake. But if you were really honest with yourself, you would realize that you've got something to be thankful for too. And there, but for the grace of God, go you and I. So when we come into the house of worship, I like the things to be set in order. That's good. But if there's no honesty in the worship, and there's no dignity in giving God your best, come on, someone. I believe you can be confined without being shut up. Come on. I believe you can have things run in order without having things being quenched. I believe God, the Holy Spirit, wants the best you have to offer. And so when the Bible says, let things be done decently and in order, it's not just about the things of how they're done. It's also about the quality of what you're doing. Give God your best. Give God your all. Even if you got 5 minutes, give him the best 5 minutes you have. Even if you're on the program for 2 minutes, set the house in order. Go ahead and go ahead and let God have his way. Don't worry about putting on airs or fashions, but be honest in your worship. Be dignified in your representation of who God is. God wants the best we have to offer. I believe God wants our worship to be in a certain fashion. But in a certain fashion that doesn't shut other folk out and shut other folk down. You know, Shiloh had a reputation, maybe he still has a reputation, of being the church set up on the hill. But it's all right to be on the hill if you know why you lift it up a little bit higher. If you're not ashamed of what the Lord has done for you. But if you also don't think you're better than anybody else. So it's all right to carry your way yourself in a certain kind of way. But don't look down on other folk. Don't belittle other folk. Don't knock other folk down. I know they're not where you are. But remember where you used to be. And that they are on a road to progress. And you are on a road of progression. So when you worship, worship honestly. Worship with a dignified spirit. But understand that God, without him, you would not have what you have. Be where you are. Drive what you drive. Live where you're living. Give God your best. Give him your all. Give him your praise. But let it be done decently, honestly, orderly, and with dignity and integrity. Let the church say amen today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Deacons and deaconess clergy, help me extend an invitation. Christian work, Christian discipleship. Whomever you are, I simply believe that God wants more for you. So today I want to invite someone who may not know the Lord for themselves to come and join the church. If you don't have a church home, and be real clear about that. We want everyone to be a part of the body of Christ. But more importantly than membership is relationship with Jesus. I need everyone to be in relationship with God the Father through God the Son. So if you're here today and you don't have that relationship, I want to offer that relationship to you today in the name of Jesus. Choir's going to sing, and as they do, if you want special prayer, that's wonderful. Just grab hold of somebody in the aisle and they'll pray for you right there. And listen, those of you who are in the aisle, the deacons and deaconesses and clergy, I want you to grab the name of the person also and get a phone number. We want to follow up with folk for whom we're praying and see how God is bringing a breakthrough in their lives. So just don't pray and let them go. Pray and say, and by the way, can I call you? Can we call you afterwards to follow up with you about prayer? So do that as you're praying. But to come down forward is to say, I want to change in my life. I want to know Father, God the Father, through Jesus the Son. And if you're here today, I want to offer that to you in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and sing, choir. Go ahead and sing. And as they sing, the invitations are extended. If you want to join the church, come on.
Our Alpha
and Omega.
And Omega.
Bless your name, God.
We worship.
Anyone here today? Anyone here today?
You are worthy to be praised.
Anyone here today? Anyone here today? You can just come on down the aisle. Step out of your seat. In the name of Jesus. Anyone here today? Anyone here today?